Good morning, good morning, good morning, and thank you for joining me on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I have an amazing show for you today. And thank you for being with us on Labor Day. Happy Labor Day to everyone who celebrates. It's a wonderful Labor Day weekend, going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to take some time to relax. Just bought me a new toy, a barbecue grill to play with. Going to throw some steaks, some chicken on the grill, invite a couple of people over, not too many, but we're going to have some fun. We're going to enjoy the day and we're going to celebrate together. So I want to thank you for being here with us on such a special day, but I'm going to go ahead and introduce our guests. We're going to have a lot of conversation today. We're going to be able to get deep into some of our conversations that we may not usually have time for. But before I do that, I'm going to invite you to do what I always invite you to do, and that is to turn to your neighbor. That's right. Pretend you're in church. We in church today. We want to spread this message. We don't want to keep it to ourselves. So somebody turn to their neighbor, turn to their friend, turn to somebody and let them know the Roundtable Talk Show is live. This is a live show. We will be taking comments from the audience, right? Because friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. And I definitely don't let my dear friend, Allison Allman, miss out on it. And she doesn't let me miss out on having a co-host every Monday morning. You definitely will recognize her face, her name, her brand, because she does the Roundtable Talk Show right. She joins us, and each week she has an update for us to follow up on what she's done in the past week. Please allow me to introduce Allison Allman, the organization maven. Good morning, Allison. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. It's Monday, and even though today is a holiday, it's still just a normal Monday for me, and so I'm busy and excited to take on the week.
I'm excited as well. I was working on the Power by Purpose two-day teleconference that I'm going to be having October 9th and 10th. You are also an exhibitor. I can't wait to have you here. But I was working all weekend and almost everyone responded and they said, Sharifa, wow, you're working on a Sunday. You're working on a holiday weekend. And I'm like, but we have to help the people. We can't just celebrate. We're putting this conference together. What are some of the things that you're going to talk about at the conference?
Well, I plan on giving some tips on how to get organized in your business, minimize distractions, delegate some tasks to another person, kind of do a priority list. I have quite a few things, including giving out a handout to all the people that attend my sessions. So I just really want it to be beneficial for everyone, even if people aren't naturally organized, just clearing out the clutter so that they can work better. And then they have a better business. They have better sales because they're not distracted or they're not overwhelmed. So that's my plan. I plan on just doing that. So you have to show up to get it.
Absolutely. I think everyone is going to show up. And this is one of the, I'm not going to tell everybody, so don't tell people, Allison, we're going to keep this from the other people. But one of the things that I'm curious about is like, who brings the people? Like, who brings the noise? Like, that's what I want to see. I want to see like 500 people who have registered and like 499 of them are like Allison Allman. Like, I just want to see what the turnout is going to be. I also want to take a moment to say good morning to Jade Elizabeth, who is joining us. She said, happy Labor Day to you. So good morning. Happy Labor Day, Jade. Hope to get Jade to come out to the Power by Purpose conference. Is going to be 2 days of amazing exhibitor booths, presenters, speakers, networking. I'm so excited. I'm just so excited. But back to you, Allison. Let's talk about you. Let's talk about what you do. You are the organization maven. You have made so many different changes. Every week I speak with you. First, you're organizing homes. Then you're organizing the garage. Then you're creating the area for the students to sit in when they go back to school. Then you work with, it's so many things that you do, and you help people with social media. So tell us a little bit about your business and what you do.
So being the organization maven has been a great privilege lately. I've been able to help a lot of people get organized. I'd have to say that the learning curve and everything that 2020 has thrown at us, so many people have so much on their plates. They have moms that are doing, you know, they're trying to work from home. They're trying to feed their kids. They're trying to do distance learning. They're trying to find desks in our area. All the IKEAs and Targets and everything are sold out on desks. So now I'm helping them kind of think outside the box on what to use as a desk or a learning center, how to set up like a cubicle within a confined amount of space. The other thing I've been doing, because we've been having like 100 degree weather right now, is which I've been doing a lot of kitchen organization and making the kitchen flow better for women and moms, so that they can, whether they have a distance learning section at their kitchen table, or they're able to cook better, or they're able to just find the stuff in the drawer over the weekend. I organized the kitchen, and it was just so phenomenal to see the before and after pictures, which I have on Instagram through the organization maven. And so it was just really exciting. Like, that's kind of been the thing that I've been doing. I wanted to do 5 kitchens in September. So far I've done 2. So I have 3 more opportunities to help someone. It's been really, really great. And it's been air conditioned and indoors, which is really great during this weather. Like, really great.
I can imagine. It was 105 degrees here yesterday in Long Beach. And it seemed to me that it started getting hot later in the day. It just got hotter and hotter and hotter. And I was sitting here like, I have no AC. Okay, Long Beach, no AC. I have a million fans, but no AC. So that is very important. I want to go back to one of the things that you said, though. What is a distance learning session? What is a distance learning place on a table?
So what I've been trying to do is set up what I call, I guess, a cubicle, where we take poster board, similar to your science project back in elementary school, where it was a main panel and then 2 side panels that kind of bend inward, and it creates a shape so that you're able to block off distractions. So you have your tablet, and then you have like this whiteboard or blue board that kind of creates kind of a cocoon around the person, and it has all their stuff. That way they aren't looking at what their sister's doing and how come she's, you know, eating this candy or doing that. You know, granted, if they have headphones on, they're not going to hear any distractions, but they're still going to see distractions. They're not going to be looking at their tablet or their device, and they're, you know, looking at this person and they're not paying attention. So we've been working on different cubicle options to separate the space, and then because it's just poster board, it can come down, and then you can have your meals together without any permanent partitions. So that's what that's one of the things we've been trying to do, and then just setting up different stations throughout the house and doing kind of like room dividers, so that like I said, there's separate spaces for distance learning, and it's even great for like if the parent is in one side of the room and they're working from home and doing teleconferences or Zoom meetings, and then their children are not distracted and whatnot. So it's been kind of just a work in progress, because things are just changing every day. So, you know, we get the word our kids are going to school, and then we get the kids we're not, and then they are and they aren't. And then it just, so having something that's not permanent and flexible has really been great for everyone.
I can imagine. I remember when I worked for American Express, and they did a study on whether, you know, because they have remote employees, and they did a study on doing working in your pajamas as opposed to working in business attire. And no matter what, even if you're working from home, you want to do that so that you get in the mindset that I'm at work. Being in your pajamas doesn't make you feel like you're at work and you don't give your best. So I would assume, and that's an assumption based on your conversation, that it's the same thing with the cubicles. You know, because you have a set place that you go to school, then now you're in the mindset that I'm in school, I'm ready for an education. Would you agree?
Yes.
You are wonderful, Allison. You always bring us the information on what to do, what's going on, the trends. We're going to talk a little bit more because I want to get into the social media aspect, because social media is and SEO is one of the things that you do very well, in addition to I'm off. It's Monday. Happy late. Organizing. I can say it. It's a big word. More, you know, to be like couple of letters, but organizing. Now, Allison, as always, I'm going to come back to you, but I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Mr. Carol Patel, who is with, and Carol Patel is a webmaster and marketer with over 20 years of experience. Good morning, Carol. How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine. Thanks for the opportunity.
You are so welcome. We appreciate having you here.
Yeah. I was not able to hear the audio properly in start, but now it's working fine.
It is working fine. We have you here. I love your background. I love your images. I love everything that you have going on. Talk to us a little bit about you, who you are, what you do, and what's the world of a webmaster marketer like?
Actually, I started back in 2002 or so. And it's been like 18 years professionally, and 2 years it was just for fun. So in first 2 years, we weren't able to make any profit or anything from that. But after that, it was all good. And I'm working for...
And I like I've been that. I like for, that. Go ahead. You said it's
I'm
all good.
Working for... Yeah, and in starting it was like 15 or 16 hours a day, but now it's like 4 or 5 hours max, and still works get done.
So you work 4 hours a day? Did you read the book, The 4-Hour Work Week?
No, I haven't read that book, but I myself cut down the working hours because now I'm fed up of working like 14 or 16 hours a day. I have worked too much.
I know the feeling. So how, as a business owner, are you able to literally cut? I need to know. I'm taking notes. How do you cut down from 14-hour days, 12-hour days, to just simply say, I'm only going to do 4 or 5 hours? How do you do that?
Actually, I was advised by many people in start, but I wasn't believing in that. I was believing in hard work and passion and everything. But when I realized myself that working less is like working more. Sometimes gardening for 3 hours is beneficial to me, because just sitting over there and doing nothing is not giving me any results.
So gardening works for you?
Yeah, gardening is working for me. It's been very productive for me.
Mm-hmm. But you know what? Sometimes when we say we're off, especially as business owners, our minds are still going. So some people may consider it gardening, where I look at it and go, well, you know what? If he's in the garden for 4 hours, that's probably meditation. That's probably him figuring out what he needs to do, what his action plan is. Because sometimes when you throw your... So I personally will add that 4 hours to the 4 hours where you're at your desk. And that's like at least an 8-hour day. But sometimes we get caught up in a certain time frame, a certain location. All of it helps you become a success. That's what I would say.
Yeah, I'm completely agreed with you, because when I'm gardening, I'm not just thinking about all the other stuff. I'm also planning my day side by side, or I'm planning what I'm going to write or what next problem I'm going to solve. But sitting on a desk, I'm not able to solve it that fast or better. So going out and working out in garden or taking a stroll in garden is beneficial for me.
What's in your garden?
Roses, only roses.
I love roses, so I'm impressed. But when you say garden, I'm like, what kind of, I thought you had some fruits, some vegetables. I want to start an organic or something myself. I love roses though.
No, growing roses in India is very hard task. So I like that. I like the challenge.
So you're calling in all the way from India?
Yeah.
Where in India?
Gujarat, Baroda.
I've never been to India. I want to go. I want to go to Hyderabad. I have a friend in Hyderabad. We've known each other since 2004. And I'm like, one day I'm going to get there. That's on my bucket list. I'm going to get there and I'm going to meet you. I love it. Carol, don't go anywhere. I just want you to join the conversation. But while I'm going to come back to you, I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest. And oh my God, like certain people, when I meet them, I just like, I have to keep you. I have to, I tell people on the Roundtable Talk Show, once you're here, I don't let you go. I hold you hostage and make you Allison, tell them like you're not
That's
going.
100% true. I only came twice in July, and she made a comment of come again. I'm like, I already came twice. What more do you want? And I go, fine, I'm going to show her. So I signed up for all of August and all of September. And then about, was it September, maybe like August 10th or something, I get an email of, well, why'd you stop at September? Why don't you do October? And so then I go, fine, I'm going to show her. I did October, November, and December.
I hold people hostage. And then I met our next guest, and she was so amazing. Not only I love when people are well-rounded. That's my thing. Even when my son was applying for his college, and getting ready for college, I had to tell him. Colleges are looking for people who are well-rounded, not just people who have all A's. And we were talking about race relations and what was going on in the world. And then I'm like, oh, not only is she focused on helping people, but she's also a business owner as well. And when you meet our next guest, Ms. Mikhail Drew Pullum, who is a designer and fashion educator, you're going to see why she is so amazing. She's also the founder of her own company, 383 Designs. Good morning, Mikhail. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you. I bet you never had an introduction like that one.
I haven't. It was awesome.
Like, I'm gonna hold you a hostage. I'm gonna keep you. And here's Mikhail, you're amazing. Tell us a little bit about how you have been shaking up the fashion industry, because fashion is not notorious for the African American woman, is not notorious for women being in executive positions. Like, they can be on the runway, they can look cute, they can walk up and down, but to actually make executive decisions is unheard of. So tell us about yourself, tell us about your business, but what made you decide to like break through in a male-dominated industry?
Well, I am actually moving in towards my own thing because of all of the things that you're talking about, how there's not as many Black women, there's not as many women, period, in those positions that are really making the decisions that are really affecting change and affecting the bottom line of different people's budgets, for companies. So what I'm doing now, as you stated, I started my own company. And one of the things that I also wanted to do was make sure that I'm always forward thinking. And one of the things, and we're seeing it now, future fashion is more digital, it's more technology. And so I started doing more technology while I was working in the fashion industry. And it was something that I really loved, and I decided to kind of make that my niche. And so what I'm doing now is I'm training other designers, whether you want a career in the industry or whether you want to be an entrepreneur, and it's mostly entrepreneurs, but how you can establish a fashion brand. And do it with the current technology, which also makes it a lot more accessible, and it makes it a lot less expensive to create your brand, to establish it, to actually have it in another year or two. And then the next thing that we're starting to do now is helping to mentor new brands as well, because one of the things that we're seeing is that creative people are really, really great with the creativity portion of it, but the business portion, not so much. So that's really, in a nutshell, what I'm doing now is I'm kind of trying to mold some new designers, hopefully more designers of color, because we do not have enough of them, and designers of color that will have thriving businesses.
I think that's wonderful. I also love the aspect of not just having people or models who are size zero. You know, the fashion industry tends to focus on this one body type. Like everyone in the world is a size 0 to 2. No, there's so many different types of people, different types of looks. And that's one of the things that I would love to see the expansion of, is understanding that there is a market for more than just a particular type or a particular body size.
Yes. And there's, I mean, not just plus size, but also adaptable clothing. People who are not, you know, there's plenty of people who are in wheelchairs. Mm-hmm. There's people who are petite. There's so many different markets that are underserved. And mm-hmm. the interesting thing, particularly like we talk about plus size, I think because they are so underserved, they are a very loyal market. So mm-hmm. one of the things that people should also understand as far as new brands is that this can be a business that once you get your customers, they will stay with you. And, mm-hmm. you know, that's what you need. You need people who are going to continuously come back and buy from you to keep your brand going. You know, mm-hmm. it's not somebody who's just going to say, oh, that was cute, and then never come back. You know, you mm-hmm. need the consistency.
Yes, definitely. And just understanding that there's more than just one type of person.
Exactly. Now,
for you, when you're teaching other people, what are some of the things that they can expect from your academy?
One of the things that they can expect is to learn more digital design. So it's not just about learning the foundations and the basics. It's great if you have that. If you don't, we'll help you through that. But it's also about learning to translate your thoughts into a digital and very clear sketch so that you can hand that off to somebody so somebody else can make what you're thinking. Mm-hmm. And then learning how to translate all those things, learning how to point out all those details, and mm-hmm. then also putting it in a format where somebody can cost it, where somebody mm-hmm. can besides make your prototype, but also cost it. And then thinking about how can I serve that market that, whether it's one of the underserved markets, but serve that market in a way where I know my customer, I know them very well. And everything that I'm doing every season is in service, not only just because I want to do it, but it's in service to your customer so that you continue to serve your customer, your customer continues to come back to you. And it's a win-win situation for everybody, you know, because you continue to thrive as a business and your customer continues to enjoy what they're getting from you.
Mm-hmm. Now, as a designer or in designing in the industry, do you ever feel like a lack of inspiration, meaning that I know as authors, there's always a story to tell. There's always something to write about because things happen every day. But the human body, there are only certain ways, so many ways that you can cover it. Do you ever feel like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know what to create next. I don't know what look hasn't been created. And I'll let you answer that. But sometimes I love, you know, when before the COVID, before the quarantine, I was always on the red carpet. I love red carpet events. And people will say, okay, well, that dress is the latest fashion. And I'm like, okay, but hasn't that been created somehow, some way before?
Well, the interesting thing about fashion is that trends reoccur. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing about people in general is that we are creatures of habit. So the things that actually sell the best and the things that keep working, we tend to gravitate towards those things that we've already, you know, that we already know, that we already like. So it's really more about figuring out how to reinvent and reinvigorate and make something that we've already done look different and look new and look fresh and look interesting. Mm-hmm. It's not always the thing that designers like, because we do like to come up with something new. But mm-hmm. the more that you work in the industry, the more that you realize that, one, there's really nothing new under the sun, unless mm-hmm. you really are like putting money into innovating a fabric or a product, you know. But most of the time, the majority of what you're selling is what people already love. And you're just finding a way to update it and put something interesting, or, you know, put something different, put add some little new detail or new trim or something like that. And what's also interesting is that we as consumers, we walk in and we see it. And even though it's the same iteration of you know, something that we bought last year, we love it, you know, because we know that it works. We already have it in our closet, but we didn't have it quite like that. We didn't have that color. We didn't have it, you know, looser fitting, or we didn't have it tighter fitting. So one of the things that I remember from school, and I've heard it throughout my time in the fashion industry, is that it is really hard to do something simple. And simplicity is actually what sells the most. So we as designers have to figure out how we can do something very simply and also very understandable for the consumer, but do it in a way where the consumer feels like it's still new and it's fresh.
I like that. I'm just so glad I asked that question, because that was an amazing answer. And it was so much more than I could have even expected or hoped for, but it was wonderful. And it reminded me of conversations that I would have with my marketing staff when they first, you know, start. And I would explain to them that there's a difference between being able to just market something and being successful. And people who are successful at marketing understand, have a gift of spin, which basically means that if I create something, okay, these are my little post-it. You know what I mean? Post-its are post-its. Post-its are always going to be post-its. It's not going to jump up and down. It's not going to do anything spectacular. It's a post-it. But if you understand how to spin, today it's post-its. Today, tomorrow it's going to be, you know, the newest post-its, the pink, you know, the color-coded post-its. And the product itself never changes, but it's the way you present it changes because you have to make it sound new and interesting, like a chair. You sell it first as a chair, then it's the newest chair, then it may be an antique chair, then it may, you know what I mean? It's the same chair. The chair itself never changes. And I think that's a gift, because most people don't have the ability to recreate something that, you know, that's already been created. They just can market a chair. Think past that. So I think that was a wonderful answer and a gift. I want to go over to Karell.
Keeping it simple.
Absolutely. See, post-it, simple. Chairs, simple. It's not too deep, but you still have to be able to get those products to fly off the shelves. And exactly. I think that's what's important. Karell, I want to go over to you real quick. We were talking to Mikhail about marketing a little bit as far as recreating products. I know with marketing and website development, you have to recreate products or services or market them in 100 different ways. What were your thoughts on what Mikhail had to say about recreating something that's already been created?
I totally agree with her, because the last thing that she mentioned, that you have to go with simplicity, means you can't overcomplicate the things, because we have to give digested things to our customers. Customers won't think twice, and nowadays on the internet, people are not going to spend 2 or 3 minutes on a single page. They are going to make a quick decision, like in 2 seconds they are going to either buy it or they are either going to skip it. So you have got like 2 or 3 seconds to catch their mind. I always believe, and I always tell my clients, that the power is in simplicity.
That's so cool. Like, we got some Allison, what are your thoughts on simplicity?
Well, I love it when people keep things simple. I want their houses to be simple. I want their too much clutter and too much going on in their house. I mean, simple and clean is the way to go. I mean, and then social media, I mean, we all know, I mean, those of us, we know that everything has to be above the fold or above the line. So if people have to scroll down, they're more likely to hit close than they are to hit scroll down. If, you know, if there's typos or glitches or there wasn't anything to hook the attention. So I think that's something that we're always trying to, you know, stay with the trends and everything. Yeah. And just making sure all of our links work and
Happy Labor Day, Allison.
Yeah, how you doing? I see you laughing. You made me laugh.
I want to go back to simplicity, Allison. One of the things that I like about you, and I'm pretty sure you were going in that direction, is that your marketing, you keep simple. you have this picture that's standard and you have a story on why you went with the picture and the outfit. Would you mind sharing that with our audience?
Sure. It has to do with branding and looking the same everywhere that people look for you. So every Monday, and I share this pretty frequently, every Monday I Google myself. I just type in Allison Almond, or usually just type in Allison Almond, and I type it into Google. And then I look at every single link attached to me. And then when I click on the link, I make sure that all my most current before and after pictures are there, or any media event is there. I make sure that the image is all the same, that my bio is the same, that my links are the same, that kind of thing. It takes pretty much all day, and I have about the first three pages of Google is all me and my different media outlets. And so the reason why I do this is so that way, for the odd chance that someone decides to Google me on Nextdoor, the information that they see about me is current, correct, and it's me. There's no question about it. I use the same picture and the same bio because I don't want someone to find me where I'm wearing a mask, sunglasses, and a hat, and I'm holding a dog, and they are like, is this the organization, Maven? I can't really tell. I can't see her face. I didn't know she had a dog. You know, is she going to have dog hair on her? I don't know. That might interfere with my allergies, or it might cause my dog to start peeing on her. You know, whatever the thing is, and they're not even sure it's me. So they just click off of it. And then, the next thing on Nextdoor that pops up for a home organizer is another organizer, and they go with that person. So even on my paying apps, so Venmo and PayPal and Cash, I have the same image and the same bio. That way, when they're searching to pay me, they're not like, I don't know if this is her or not. Maybe I should wait for the QR code. You know, I don't want to send money to the make sure my brand is consistent across the board everywhere. I just Google myself and fix it. It takes me pretty much all day to make sure that all my current before and after pictures projects are there, and all my social media links of, you know, where I am on YouTube, this show, other shows. I make sure all those links are active and updated, and I even click on them just to make sure there's no typo or broken links or anything like that, because my worst fear is someone's going to click on it and not know it's me, and then instead of scrolling down or, you know, whatever, they're just going to hit the close button and move on to the next image. And so I highly encourage that everyone Google themselves. About 80% of what's out there is under your control to fix, update, maintain. The things you can't control are like Yelp reviews or Google reviews or any kind of disgruntled client that, you know, is upset or something. They're going to post something and you can't control that content, but everything else is all on you. So why not take the time instead of like throwing the dice and being like, oh, I don't care, or it's too much work. If you get in the habit of doing it every single Monday, it becomes very easy. And then of course, if you update everything every Monday, the next Monday, it's just a review to make sure it's broken, not broken links or anything like that. And it really makes it easy in the sense that if you forget to post somewhere, then all you have to do is go to another outlet and just paste it in. It isn't like you're creating the content from scratch. I know that a lot of social media influencers talk about changing it up for every platform. And if you have that time, go do it. If you don't have that time, follow my strategy of just making everything the same. Because in my thought process, the internet is like fishing. So you're throwing your net out there wide, like you're throwing it off the boat so that you can catch all the fish. And so unless you have a specific niche and you really shine really well on LinkedIn and want to put the effort on LinkedIn to create different content, go for it. But I'm just coming across in my day-to-day of interacting with other small businesses, most people don't have the time. They don't have the resources to have specific content for each platform. They don't have any idea what they're going to post about. Like they don't have a content schedule or anything like that. So they're picking their brain and they're just wasting so much time trying to figure out their content instead of just getting basic information out there and getting clients. Like, let's get that hamster wheel turned.
Let's get the money rolling.
Back to making it specific.
Yeah, let's get the money rolling. Let's get it coming in. I love it. I think it's so interesting. Mikhail, like Allison said, some people prefer to have the same picture. Then there are some people who prefer to have different pictures, different looks, different images. I'm one of those people. And it wasn't, I think, a conscious choice, or maybe it was. You never know. But I have all kinds of pictures. If you Google me, there are a lot of different pictures. But I always say, in all the pictures, I have my clothes on, so I'm okay. But I like to change it up. Well, how about you, Mikhail?
I am actually in the same boat as Allison. Like, I try to use the same picture over and over again. Here and there, I have a different one, but most of the time for the profile pictures on like LinkedIn, Instagram, my Facebook page, things like that, it's all the same picture. And for me, I kind of agree. I feel like people want to see the same person over and over again. So even if they're not sure who they found, or is that her, you know, that type of thing, they can keep identifying the same picture over and over again. So even if something, you know, if you're like in the middle of speakers and nobody's really reading what's there, they can at least quickly identify the picture, like, oh yeah, I know who that is, you know.
Mm-hmm. They follow good. That person. So, oh, she's speaking at this event. Okay, I want to go to it. Because exactly. It's like they could pick out your picture and go, oh, okay, I know her. I follow her on Instagram. Oh, this is awesome. Click, I'm going to buy this, or click, I'm going to do this, or click, I'm going to share it, you know, whatever their thing is. So yeah, I really like it. For me, I just want it easy and simple. Like, if I'm going to dedicate one day to work on social media, I want it to be the most impactful thing. I don't want to waste my time making flyers or, typing up content. You know, that's not how I choose to have my income using tasks. Like, I want to get the latest data out there, and then I want to start working on action plans and estimates, and then, you know, plan my calendar. To me, writing up something unique just isn't my thing. It isn't for my market or my audience. My audience want to see pictures, and they want to look at a before picture and go, oh my gosh, my kitchen looked just like that, or my pantry looked just like that, or my closet just looked like that. Oh, look, it only took her 2.5 hours. Okay, book, only because in their mind, they're thinking that their closet's going to take 20 hours or whatever. And when I get there, I'm like, oh, this is a 4-hour job. And they're like, wait, what? How is this a 4-hour job? I'm like, I do hundreds of closets. This is a 4-hour job. This is what I need. And I'll see you in 2 weeks, or I'll see you tomorrow, or I'll see you what day. So I try to do the before and after pictures so I can be relatable. So people can go, oh my gosh, my garage looks just like that. She did that in 6 hours. Oh my gosh. So that's why I on all my posts, I put how many hours it took to complete. And then I have people go to my website so they can see pricing, so that they can go, I know exactly what to expect. I'm going to expect to spend about this much money, and it's not going to be a surprise. And it's not in the budget. I don't want to waste her time, you know, that kind of stuff. So that's just what I've discovered.
I think it works. Karel, what are your thoughts? Same picture, different picture, change it up, keep it the same.
I would like to disagree with other hosts, because I am like, I want first 50 pictures to be my own. And Google is going to detect that this is the same picture. So it is going to show one result, and the other result will be someone else. I want different pictures of me. First 50 should be mine. First 50 results should be mine. First 5 pages should be mine.
Okay, so I hear you. I want the first 50 pages to be mine. So what are some of your recommendations to obtain the first 50 pages? So I can write that down and take over the internet.
I don't know how it works for others, but for me, if I'm going to post same picture everywhere, then Google is going to show one picture of me and other pictures of other Kiral Patels. I don't want that. I want my customers to see 50 pictures of me. They can't find anyone else other than me.
They can't find find anyone else other than me. That's going to be my motto when I take over the interview. I don't want them to find anyone else other than me. But that was not my question. Let me ask my question again, Carell. How do I get 50 pictures of me, 50 pictures to take up 5 pages of the internet? What do you recommend a website owner, entrepreneur, a business person creates so that they receive Google search results?
First thing first, the content should be different. That goes for images too. Just like articles or a website content, it goes for images too and videos too. Because if you are going to search for, let's say, a cartoon, Mickey Mouse cartoon, you are not going to see 5 Mickey Mouse cartoons of YouTube all the same. They will be different. That's what I'm telling you. If you want 50 different result set, then you have to have 50 different content. And
all yes, absolutely.
So that's the first requirement. And the second requirement is it should be from high profile website. Mm-hmm. For example, you can have a different one in Facebook. You can have a different one in Instagram. You can have a different one in your About Me or wherever. I think you can try Noem. Noem.com. It allows you to... Yeah, it allows you to manage up to like 400 different social profiles, and it will be very easy to manage it from there.
It's okay, free. Spell that for me, because I'm writing this down.
K-N-O-W-E-M.
Oh, okay, so Noem.com. I got to write that down on my handy dandy post-it. I need help managing all this stuff. 400. I don't have 400 different social media accounts. I think I have. I don't know how many.
You should open it. You should open at least 40 or 50.
Who's going to manage 40 or 50 social media accounts?
Not me.
Because you don't know. We didn't know in 2007 that Facebook is going to take off. That's why I registered my username in 2007. Right now, if I'm going to search my own username, I'm going to get an error that someone is already using my name. I don't want that.
You like to have a lot of control, a lot of power. Like, you don't want anyone else to be found. They don't get any search results, nothing. It's all about you, Carell.
That's what I do.
I like Carell. Carell said, that's what I do. Okay, well, we're going to have to talk to you because I want people to just go to Google and no matter what they type in, it's going to show them Sharifa Hardy. They're going to be looking for eggs and it's Sharifa Hardy. Like, I want every search result to be about me.
That's what everyone should try for.
That's right. How about you, Allison? Is that what you're trying for?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying for.
Mikhail?
I'm going to try. I wrote down Noem.com.
All of a sudden, Noem.com is going to have an influx of traffic, and they're going to be like, I don't know where this came from. He's like, Carell Patel was on the Round Table Talk Show. He spelled it. He told him to go. All of a sudden, that's your website traffic. I love it. This is great. This is a good conversation. I'm taking notes. I like when I learn. I like when I take notes. Now, Carell, I want to go back to you because one of the things that you do, you do SEO and direct marketing. Is that correct? Is that correct? Okay.
Yeah.
What can you tell us a little bit about the difference and also tell us your preference?
I do SEO. SEO is like two aspects. One is on-page SEO and another is off-page SEO. The on-page SEO is like you are going to optimize your web pages, your content, your design and everything. And the off-page SEO is like when you create great content, people are going to link to you, people are going to spread it on social media, you are going to get social signals, you are going to get more likes, more comments and everything. Ultimately, it's all about backlinks from reputed websites and all that. And SEO firms are just going to game the system and like they are like going to make some guest posts here and some guest posts there. They are going to create some profile links, some social media accounts. They are going to somehow extract some links from here and there.
Mm-hmm.
That is what off-page SEO is all about.
Mm-hmm. And direct marketing?
Direct marketing is like gray area. I don't know if you are going to direct market to your subscribers who have subscribed that, to your newsletter, then it's great. But some people are also shooting cold emails. I don't know. They are shooting cold emails to 10,000 people in a day.
Mm-hmm.
That's spam.
Yes, but absolutely. Do you have any? Go ahead.
That's spam, but they are telling it like it's a direct marketing. I don't know how.
Do you want to find out how? Because I might want to. No, I'm just kidding. It's Monday. Happy Labor Day. Thank you for tuning in. Please be sure to share. But seriously, for people who are just now starting out, they're entrepreneurs. The majority of the people who tune in to watch the show are entrepreneurs who are just beginning. And that's why they watch the show. They want to learn from you. They want to learn from the experts. Do you have any recommendation or guidelines on your website, when you develop your website, what you should look for, or what you should look for in a website developer?
I think first and foremost, you don't have to hire a SEO firm if you are small to medium-sized business, because you can do it yourself also. What most of the SEO firms are going to do is they are just going to game the system, and ultimately you are going to get slapped by Google or any other search engine, because mm-hmm. nowadays they catch it really easily. Mm-hmm. It's not that easy. This is not 2005 or 2007.
Mm-hmm.
This all used to work in 2005 and 2007. Nowadays, this all doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And now on social media also, people are loaded with fake followers. I don't know, they are calling themselves influencers, but more than 80% of followers are fake followers.
Mm-hmm.
Automated robots are shooting likes and giving comments on their Instagram. So it's not that good. You're just going to burn your money.
We don't want to burn the money at all. That's why we're here, to help people find legitimate ways to be able to expand their business. I want to go over to Mikhail. That's one of the things that you're focused on, is not just the fashion industry, but working with the fashion designers to be able to expand. What are some of the areas that you recommend?
Well, there's actually a lot of really basic things. And this is why I was saying, like, creative people tend to be more creative than business minded. And I mean, it's not anybody's fault. I mean, we're creative people. And when we're in school, we're not really put in business classes. We're put into creative classes, you know, so they really help you hone your craft, but mm-hmm. don't necessarily show you how to run a business. And one of the most basic things is just learning to understand who your customer is, you know, mm-hmm. like a lot of times, and especially now where people talk much more about niching down, right?
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that we were taught, you know, we talk about creating a consumer profile. But when I was in school, and I actually just did this, I also teach at the Fashion Institute of Technology. I'm an adjunct there. And mm-hmm. we just covered this in class. And one of the things that we were taught when I was in school, like 20 years ago, was you want to capture this wider audience, you mm-hmm. know, so you would have these ranges for who could be in your clothing and, you know, who you want to talk to. Whereas now, especially this summer when I was taking even more classes and just kind of inundating myself with information. But one of the things I kept hearing over and over again is that the riches are in the niches.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about it yourself, about how you interact with email and Instagram and everything else, you kind of just keep scrolling past stuff until something jumps out that speaks directly to you, you mm-hmm. know, like you as a Black woman, or you as a woman, or you as a, you know, 40-year-old, I'm talking about myself, 40-year-old, you know, designer, whatever it is, you want to be very specific about your customer. And that's one of the basic things that I found about a lot of designers that I've been working with is they don't really know who's, they think they know who they're talking to, but they don't really know who they're talking to. And the minute that you become more specific about who that person is when you start getting the right people who are actually going to come to you and buy from you. And also like ride or die for you. You know, I mean, these are the people who really, really love you and love what you do, love your product. And those are the people that you want in your camp because those are the people who are going to continuously support you throughout a pandemic, throughout a recession, throughout, you know, and then continue to support you once we get out of that.
Absolutely. Allison, you talk quite often based kind of about the same thing. What are your thoughts on what Mikhail had to say?
I totally agree about finding your exact niche or your exact, I guess, perfect client or customer. I run into this in other women networking groups and whatnot. And people say, oh, well, my product goes on people's skin. So I want my client is everyone from babies to parents to old ladies to everyone. Anyone that has skin can use my product. This is like in reference to direct sales marketing products and so forth. And I go, really? Okay, so how many babies are on Instagram buying stuff from you? And then they're like, oh, well, you know, their moms are going to buy. I'm like, okay, great. Tell me about your moms that are buying from it. Are they live in a certain area? Do they have a certain kind of income? What's their hair color? What do they do in their free time? Like, you have to know your exact customer base, and then you can, you know, tailor your prices. Or if in direct sales, you really can't. But I mean, if you're doing your own business, you know, you have to tailor your prices to your exact clientele or your perfect client or your niche. You know, they're the ones that have a baby on their hip and their, you know, Amazon app on their phone, and they're scrolling and hitting a buy now. So, you know, if that's your base, then that's how you're going to do your marketing. And that's how you're going to know, you know, where you're going. If you're trying to sell the babies that don't have an Instagram account, then, you know, you're kind of like up a creek. But, you know, if you're looking for a certain demographic, you know, so I kind of, you know, dig a little deeper, like, you know, once people reply back or comment back saying, okay, this is my exact demographic, I go, great, now go and join groups where those people are in, or, you know, start using those hashtags or start using, you know, and everything, you know. So then once we get into that, then they're like, oh, and then like a month later, their business is booming. And I'm like, great. So how many babies are on Instagram? Zero. How many of your clients that have babies are buying? All of them. Great. We've mission accomplished.
How do you determine your target audience? What are some of the best ways that you recommend to make that determination?
For me, like I said, I think about their hair color. I think about where they live. I think about how busy their life is. Like I said, they have a baby on their hip and, you know, they're stirring the things, and their kid behind them says, Mom, I can't find my pencils. Mom, I can't find this. Okay, well, just buy more pencils. And then they're thinking, gosh, I buy so many pencils on Amazon, or so many chargers, or so many things. I am tired of buying this. I'm going to go into a mom's group and find out a tip from another mom on how they keep from buying so much this. And then somehow a thread comes up that says, hey, I need to get organized. Who do you guys recommend? And I get tagged 4, 5, 6 times in the same thread. So they still have the baby and they're still stirring and they're scrolling on their phone. And then they're like, hey, this lady gets tagged 6 times. Let's just click on the link that she provides. Oh, she does free consultations. Awesome. Click on that, you know, oh, or click here to text me or whatever. And they start texting me going, I'm overwhelmed. I'm tired of buying pencils. I have a kid on my hip and I can't find anything. Can you just come over? So that's how I try to imagine their lives. And then that's where I zero in on how to make things easy for them, how to make contacting me easy, you know, so that when they're reading through, they're like, oh my gosh, that's me. I tailor my, when I write my posts, I'm saying, I know you're busy. I know you have kids on your hips. I know you're being pulled 100 different ways. Why don't you just let me come over and help you? Just click here. Just DM me. Like, I cater to those people that I want to use me. I make it easy for them. You know, I come off as a very compassionate and understanding, like I'm talking to you on this. that makes you want to go over and click on me.
Yes, it makes me want more. It definitely, and I can't wait to have you back not only next Monday, but at the Power by Purpose Tuesday Empowerment Teleconference. We're going to learn so much more. I'm sure the audience loved the tips that you provided today. That's why we love having you here every Monday. Now, we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives, and simply let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we are going to start with you, Karel.
I think I want everybody to know that all ads are not honest. And just like Maven said, if some ad is about you and it is honest, then just click on it and buy whatever you want to. But all ads are not honest. Internet is full of lies. Almost 99% of the things are lies.
Wow. We have to look into that. We have to definitely make sure we review what we purchase, send what we're clicking on. Keep that in mind. Mikhail, what do you want to leave us with?
I want to say, one, because I'm a technology geek a little bit, that embrace the technology. It will help you and it will be not only the future of fashion, but just the future in general. And don't be afraid of it. It's a good thing. It definitely helps connect us like it's connecting us right now. Number two, if you are a designer, embrace the technology, a fashion designer. I know that a lot of us are very much into hand drawing and things that are very tactile. And that can still happen. That can still be part of it. But make sure that you don't ignore the technology, because again, if you want your future to be in the industry and to establish your own brand, you're gonna need it. You definitely are gonna need it. And one other thing, do you mind if I plug our competition? So we have a fashion business competition coming up. It's called From Pencil to Production. It is a series that is going to be similar to like a Project Runway, but it's the business side of it. And our deadline for anyone who wants to enter is this Wednesday. If you tell them that you're coming to from, you know, you saw it on Asharifa, we'll give you a little extra time. But it is an online competition, so you can be anywhere in the US or Canada if you want to enter, if you want to compete. And we would love to have you. Whether you win or not, you will learn some really great gems from some really great people about just running your business more efficiently.
Okay, do you already have to have a fashion background or have certain equipment, digital equipment, in order to enter the competition?
You do not. You just need to be able to have access to something like this, because we're going to have everything on a webinar or on a meeting. And yeah, that's it. Internet and, you know, be able to have access to a meeting. There's some other things. And if I can, after the show, I can give you the link to the online, the online application. And there's some other eligibility requirements, but for the most part, you just need to be passionate about fashion. You need to be at least 25 and in the US or Canada.
And that's I got that 25.
Can you post it in the comments for the Facebook Live of this?
Yes, I can.
So that
yes,
all of our viewers live and on the replay can watch it?
Yes, I can.
Click on it.
Yes, because I'm interested. And I always have this idea that I want to bring in to life on a fashion clothing line. So I might have to check that out. And then I also love to have you as one of the speakers for our Power by Purpose 2-day teleconference, because that's something that you can offer all of the people who visit. Mikhail, Allison, what do you have for us?
Well, I have the best way to contact me is the organization Maven. Google it in, and like I said, the first three pages I should come up. You can actually audit the Google and let me know if there's something that I missed, and let me know. That would be awesome. I will totally take it as constructive criticism and fix it right away.
I'm gonna go Google you and see what I come up with. Maybe I'm looking for some interesting things. So I'm gonna go 50 pages in. I want to get to the deep stuff that you thought you hid from when you were in high school. Like, I want that stuff that comes back to haunt you. I appreciate you all, and I want to thank you for being here today on not only Monday's episode, but Labor Day episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I definitely appreciate your support, but I also appreciate everyone who tuned in to watch the show live, as well as everyone who is watching in the archives. I definitely appreciate you, and just because you're watching in the archives doesn't mean you cannot go ahead and share the show, whether it's 2 days, 2 months, 2 years, 5 years from now, from when we do it live. Please share the show, because the information that we share today, I'm pretty sure your friends will love. And if you are interested in other ways I can help your business or in being a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit the website at asharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, everyone have a safe, safe holiday. Please, no drinking and driving, but have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.